Hey, everybody, and welcome to Allegedly. It's me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And it's your boy, Theo One. Last white hippopotamus, bro. We're still out in these streets.
That was actually kind of RuPaul-ish, you know?
Really?
Yeah, that was, you got a little drag in you.
I wonder if I could be drag, dude. Here's my thing. There is a photo of my brother and I wearing dresses when we was children. There is. And I still do remember the feeling of the fabric on my skin. It felt beautiful.
And by children, you mean adults?
No, I mean, we was young children. My brother had beautiful skin.
So,
he did. My brother always had more beautiful skin than me, dude. I remember at night, sometime I was thinking I would sneak over to his bed and take his skin off and put it on me.
That's
is that crazy?
That's sociopathic.
Well,
thinking.
Whatever, dude.
Well, what's
beautiful
been going
skin.
On, dude?
Golden skin. What's going on, dude?
That was just me baiting you. Let me tell you what's going on with me.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you tell me, man.
It's award season.
Right.
You know, the Golden Globes happen, SAG's coming up, and then the Oscars and all that.
And did you go to Golden Globes party?
I went to an HBO party, but I went to the party the night before, which is my favorite party of the year, every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sean Penn's Haiti Gala, right?
Wow.
And so every year they have a surprise musical guest. The first year I went was U2. Second year, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow.
Third year, Madonna and Tom Petty. This year, it was Beck, and David Blaine came up and did magic.
No.
Which was pretty freaking awesome to see. But it's also a great event because Sean Penn, he's an interesting fella,
yeah.
Right? I believe him more than any other celebrity that his motives are correct.
Mm.
Like, he really wants to help Haiti. Like, he goes in there and does it. He was the dude who was on a rowboat. And going to this event through the years, it also touched home. It became a personal kind of thing. And this organization is called JPHRO. It's Haitian Relief Organization, right? And so, I don't know if you know, but Haiti had a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane Matthew. In October. And 2.1 million individuals were affected. And the estimated cost of damage and economic losses totaled $1.8
billion. Didn't they just get over an earthquake?
Yeah. Haiti's got some issues.
Can we move Haiti? That's what I want to know.
I don't think we can.
What's the cost of that?
But people like Sean Penn, believe it, of all people, Sean Penn, like come together. I think they raised $35 million that night.
Really?
Oh, it was pretty crazy. I even got, like, there was an auction item that, like, it was swimming with sharks in South Africa that...
Which I've done, by the way.
When you're drinking a little and you hear $50,000, part of you goes, I think I can afford that.
Wow.
So I bid $50,000 for the South African swimming with sharks. I did. Leonardo DiCaprio, the table X over, he goes, $75,000. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm out. So I did not get it. But I can only imagine what would have happened to me if I had to shell out $50,000 that I probably don't have.
You got outbid by Leonardo DiCaprio.
I did, yeah. It was pretty cool.
You're like Nicolas Cage. You and Nicolas Cage both have that in common because he bought a Tyrannosaurus head. Remember the bone?
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Bought it.
You're right. And so JPHRO, their mission is simple, save lives and build sustainable programs for the Haitian people quickly
and effectively.
If you're
into that, that's a great idea.
And now they actually have a new... thing that they're doing, which is there's also horrible deforestation problems in Haiti.
God.
Like hundreds of years ago, the slopes were covered with dense forests and things like that.
In Haiti?
Yeah. Now only 2% of the forests remain. And so their new motive...
You barely play hide and seek in that.
That's true. Their new motive is they're helping raise money with that, with the Haiti Takes Root campaign, that they're going to reverse that.
Wow.
So it's really cool. So everybody, if you go to jphro.org, jphro.org, you can donate your time, your money, and help people in Haiti.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I mean, look, there's always good causes out there, you know, if you have something good to give, and this sounds like a great one, man.
Dude,
I've been to Haiti.
I remember the earthquake. That was pretty devastating.
Man.
And then they got hit by a hurricane.
They've just been falling in a lot of trouble, you know?
It's crazy. So everybody, check it out. Support JPHRO. Support Sean Penn.
Yeah, support Sean Penn. We have another celeb, man, especially in our universe, in two of my universes, podcasting and comedy. The one and only Adam Carolla.
He's here today?
Yeah.
We're going to get to interview Adam Carolla?
We're going to interview Adam Carolla today.
I'm a little nervous.
Why?
He's a little intimidating.
Why? Because he's like a bro dude?
Yeah, he is a bro dude. You're going to win. I know you're going to win.
I mean,
because it's a bro. There's some broing out going on.
I would think I would win. I mean, I like Adam. He's got a new movie, The 24-Hour War, which I saw. It was really good.
It's about Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah,
and all the racing.
But Le Mans.
The
Le Mans race.
I thought it was Le Mans.
Yeah.
And then I was like, isn't that a class?
It really romanticizes car culture.
It does, except for when the fucking cars blow up.
Mm.
Did you see that?
I saw it,
there
dude.
There was some pretty crazy footage.
Dude, that's why I used to drive around with raw meat in my car, dude.
Just to cook your steak?
Only way grilled, dude.
All right. Well, let's get Adam in here, okay?
How do you like your meat? Head-on collision.
We'll be right back.
Dude, you're pretty smart, right, Matt?
Pretty smart.
But are you going back to school to get another degree?
I could, but, you know.
Well, are you looking to put away more money in your kid's college fund?
When I have a kid, or my own funds. Like, I would really like to have some more money.
Oh, Matt, well, are you writing the next great American novel and looking for inspiration?
Maybe.
Well, I've got a way you can accomplish all of these things.
Tell me.
Yep, it's a smart way to earn extra money and get an extra $500 bonus.
Okay, do I have to suck any?
No, dude, drive for Lyft, bro.
Oh, okay.
You just have to drive for Lyft. Drive for Lyft, it's the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your car.
Wow, yeah. And I don't even have to stand on the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard.
No, you're going to pick up people that are standing on the corner.
Wow, okay.
But just to get them to another place, man.
Wow, and make money. Wow.
And make money. There are other ride-sharing apps out there, but everyone likes driving for Lyft best because they treat their drivers great. Lots of people started as customers and now drive for Lyft. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app, and those add up
to money.
Yeah, money. You can drive mornings, nights, or weekends. Just flip into driver mode and start making money.
No joke, my dad, when he moves out here next year, he's going to do. This is his plan.
Hilarious,
to become a
dude.
Lyft driver.
Well, bro, tell him how we know how he can get a $500 bonus. He can sign up today at Lyft.com/THEO. Yep. Lyft has a special offer for our listeners, a $500 new driver bonus when you sign up using our show. Just go to lyft.com/THEO today so you can start making some extra money and get your $500 new driver bonus. What are you going to tell your dad to spend that $500 on, man?
Me, somehow.
Right on. That's a great idea. Lyft.com/Theo. And this is for a limited time only.
All right, now back to the show.
All right, his new documentary, The 24-Hour War, will take you inside a battle for not only automotive innovation and supremacy, but cultural and continental supremacy as well. He is a comedian, a host, a rogue sommelier, and I hope to one day consider him a friend, Mr. Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Big fan.
Thank you.
I'm not kissing ass just to get points, but...
Oh, well, there's a point. I used to be the boss, and sometimes they'd go, hey, that intern's just brown nosing you. And I'd go, that's why I like him. I like the thought of brown nosing. You know what I mean? Even if brown nosing is brown nosing, what's behind brown nosing?
Yeah.
I want you to like me, so I will lie to you about asking whether you lost weight or you got laid or you look tan. Thus, you get extra points for brown nosing me. So, man, right. That's a point. That's a point for you.
I'll take it. Off to a good start.
Off to a good start.
Mr. Carolla, I'm a big fan of yours. I've followed you for years and years. And not only as a fellow podcast host, you've done a lot for podcasting. And I look up to you in that sense.
Oh, hold on a sec. I got to deduct a point. Matt has lumped us in together.
Yeah. Agreed. And
sorry,
I saw that coming.
Yeah, we're not even in the same stratosphere when it comes to podcasting.
Yeah.
And you, not that you said we're one of the same, but you did say as a fellow podcaster and then went on to. So that's like a guy who calls Pop Warner or local high school games talking to Joe Buck going as a fellow broadcaster. You understand that's a slap in the face to Joe Buck. So that's a minus point. Well, we're back to zero.
All right. Well, it's a good way to start off.
Yeah. Way to go, Matt. Adam, the new movie, I want to talk about it because I just watched it. Okay. Mine. Mm. The new film. I know that you love cars. I mean, I've been here in your studio and I see you, you know, basically I feel like I could get an oil change here in a heartbeat if I really needed it.
I don't know gay slang, but I bet you could.
But I want to know what made you do it, though? Like, what made you do this?
You get a point for watching the movie.
Oh, I watched it too.
And enjoying it. All right. But
you didn't
Theo,
say you did.
Theo said it first. You were too busy including me in whatever podcast world you live in.
Gosh.
oh, wait. Lord's name in vain? Or did you say gosh?
I said gosh.
Okay. All right. So now, Theo, I did not know you were allowed to write books or make movies or anything for an extended period of time in my life.
Right.
So I grew up in an incredibly downtrodden, and it's not a poor thing, although everyone likes to turn it into some sort of socioeconomic thing. It was like, it's not the part that we never talk about when we talk about like the inner city or the poor kids, or they don't have, you know, it's always like access to a laptop, or if they don't have top-notch education or school lunches or whatever
cushions.
It is. Soft cushions, memory foam.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't like the idea that my mattress is a memory. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's Russia.
I don't need that thing. Just to, oh yeah. Noted. Yeah. Whatever goes on up there, and then what? Goes to a mattress party, has a couple of cocktails, starts flapping its duvet cover. You know what I mean? I don't need my mattress knowing that. Do you?
I want zero recollection.
I want zero recollection foam. I want Alzheimer's foam. Oh. Not memory foam. Certainly not memory foam. What's going on in that? Oh yeah. He was beating off to My Little Pony last week. Hand a pillow. All right. So now, what was I saying? Oh yeah, I didn't know. So it's about being downtrodden. It's about like not even knowing you're allowed to do stuff. It's
right.
Not about having the money.
Right.
It's like I come from a place where everyone just, you know, goes to school, gets out of school, gets a job, picks up a shovel, goes to work and hates it. And that's right. Then that's what you do.
Right.
And then, you know, on the weekend, you can go to the river and ride your jet ski or something.
Yeah.
And that's about that. You get married, you get divorced, you get fat, you hate your kids. Like
yeah.
That's where I come from. And the idea that you could make a documentary film, that was for guys who went to NYU and hung in
fancy people.
Yeah. That hung in certain circles.
I went to NYU.
Oh, really? Mo, there's three minus.
Yeah.
Right for that. Minus
I
three
knew that
for
was
Matt.
Happening, but.
Yeah. Well, you got minus one for going to NYU, yeah. But you got the additional bonus two for actually talking about it. So that's, I would have no way have ever known that.
I can't even read.
Yeah. Oh, there's a point.
Ooh, yeah.
For literacy.
He's not going to be able to read it, though, but that's
yeah.
A good point.
So it was weird, though. At a certain point, I got to sort of try to get past my childhood and go, hey, if you want to write a book or if you want to make a documentary, you could do that.
Yeah.
Why? What's so different about these people than you, even though you don't look anything like them or have any of the trappings or go to the same parties or anything? And I made Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, which is a documentary that I wanted to make because I had a bunch of Paul Newman race cars. And I just thought it came, like, it was a labor of love, but it wasn't that difficult. And the response was really good to it. And I thought, well, why not start making documentaries? Like, why be defined by this, you know, 14-year-old version of myself from North Hollywood? Why
right.
not just go do what I want to do, and minus the beret and the funky frames and the weird facial hair, and just go do what I want to do?
So how did this one compare in work? Because I, as a filmmaker, when you do a documentary,
comparing us again?
No, yeah. He really is. I mean, you guys are going to be kinfolks.
Do you want me to drop?
Go
we'll
ahead.
Do it later. Especially to do a documentary, you really got to, like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you got to be passionate, as all passionate about whatever the topic is, enough to be able to go through stuff, all the footage, and listen to it over and over again.
Well, the first thing you have to do is like get competent people around you. You guys just saw Nate Adams, who was following me in here, walking from the other shop where we do the docs, and he was telling, I got to deduct a point for calling a documentary a doc. That's for me. One off for me. Not even in the game, but I'm still down one. Yeah, I called it a doc. So we had, and you guys catch Curb, guys? Oh, I got to deduct another point for calling Curb Your Enthusiasm, Curb. Okay, hold on. I'm down too. Man, it's tight. So Nate Adams follows me around and he says, you know, I'm going to interview this guy, I'm going to interview that guy, we're going to do this, we're doing this K-Rock documentary next, and we had U2's in town in April, and K-Rock sponsoring it, so we're going to be able to get some access, hopefully, to Bono and company. And it's really about getting really good people around you, trusting them, and then like you're on a giant ship just running back and forth to everyone's quarters and the engine room and the bridge and just go, what's going on? How's it going here? Is it going good? And they go, aye, and you go, okay. And then you run off to the next thing. That's the only way you can get this done. It's not me alone locking myself in a room.
Right. So a lot of, do you feel like you had to let go of a lot of control?
I only feel the control issue when... Philly cheesesteak. Yeah. My dog doesn't like me talking about control. He loves Janet Jackson. All right, oh, Phil. Wow. What do you want? He's 110 pounds. Fix your ear. I don't like when your foreskin, your ear skin is flapping. Hey, don't bite me.
Pretty animal.
You know the thing that's funny about Phil? He leave him alone for a second, Gary. He cannot tolerate me shadow boxing.
Really?
He'll let me skip rope or dance around or do anything I want to do, even mince on occasion. But if I shadow box, he goes nuts and tries to kill me.
Wow.
Would you like to see a demonstration of that?
Yes, absolutely.
God, I definitely want to see
that.
Is it just you or is it anybody?
Well, that's a good question. I got other members of my family don't shadow box. So I've never really experienced, tried this, but maybe if I get like Sugar Ray Leonard over the house. Hold on a second. Let's see if he goes nuts.
Wow. This is like that movie where the guy fights the bear.
The Revenant.
Yeah, this is like the Revenant. Yeah.
This is the Jewish Revenant.
Wow. Oh my God. This is like the guy that came to our gym class in high school and taught us karate.
Thank you, Phil.
Oh, Phil, this seems like such an inner city thing. Like something crazy just happened. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, good finish there.
It goes berserk.
The Jewish Revenant is my new thing. Is it my new favorite thing. That's great.
He took my foreskin.
And that's Briss is by Phil. Briss is by Phil.
So, no, I don't, as far as control goes, if someone's doing it right, I don't care.
Right.
Like, if you know, Jimmy and I would work on the Man Show together, and neither one of us had this great, like, dominion over the next. It was like, he's doing this thing over there, he's smart, he's funny, he's whatever. As long as it's good. The problem is, you walk into these environments. Sorry, there's a shadow box with my bear.
Yeah, we saw it.
You walk into these environments, and you know, you'll know it first when they want to do like a promo for your show. And first time we did a Loveline promo a million years ago on MTV, they're like, here's our slogan. We have a record player go like zoop, and then I turn to the camera and go, you need a brain vacation. And I go, all right, that's horrible. And they're like, no, you got to do it. And I was like, no, it's stupid. And I'm not calling the show a brain. Why is it a brain vacation? You know? And it's like, they loved it. And they kept arguing. And so you could go, well, you're trying to wrestle control away. And it's like, well, yeah, in that instance, I am trying to have control because their idea is fucking retarded.
Right.
But when I was sitting next to Jimmy and Jimmy had an idea about marrying a monkey and leaving his wife and we're going to shoot that bit, I said, well, that's genius.
Yeah.
And so then I wasn't trying to wrestle control away. So people are too easy with the wrestle control away. Nate sits in that other building and makes really good documentaries and I pay for them. And I tell him, here's the movies I want to make. Here are the people I want to interview. Here's the story I want to tell. And then he goes and hits home runs. Hmm. If a guy's an expert and he's tuning your piano, do you need to wrestle control of it out of his hands?
Well, it depends. Did I meet him on Grindr or not?
Oh, jeez.
A go gay joke. You get You're getting a point for that.
I was on Grindr in the lobby. The best thing about, we're over in Adam's studio in Glendale. It's like, I live on the west side, so coming over to this side, it's a whole new crop of Grindr people.
That's true. Huh?
Yeah, it's really joyful.
So you're gay?
Yes.
What is the? Oh God,
he prefers the company of men. He prefers the company of men.
So awesome.
You know,
I wish I was gay.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're too tall for a gay guy.
You don't want to be that
tall gay guy. That's so weird.
I don't think so. I don't think there's any height that that God has decided in advance was good for a gay guy. Yeah, of course. It's true. Like, I'd have to do the wide stance on most glory holes. Yeah. I mean, if that's, I'm approaching it from a glory hole standpoint.
I'd
have to definitely go stall to stall in terms of the stance. It's good. Move it down. But I've tried bending at the knee, but that pulls you too far away.
What?
I don't even know what a glory hole is. Yeah, I would have to go with the wide stance on your average glory hole.
Yeah, that's true. But if you're in Germany.
Yeah.
If you're going with an upscale, a taller society, you should probably just relax.
Yeah, or like go like you're going to use like a glory hole in like Kenya.
Yeah.
They have taller fellows over there. Although I feel like you're rolling the dice. You know, the Kenyan glory hole?
Ooh.
Yeah. I feel like there's a little bit of a dice roll.
There's not as much glory. Yeah, there's not as much glory.
Great movie, by the way. Denzel Washington was awesome in that.
Denzel Washington would play
Shout
you.
Shout out
that.
To Denzel.
Yeah, so the Grindr thing.
Yes.
I just feel like if I were gay, it would be awesome, and I could just go hang out with fellas. You know, every day would be like that volleyball scene from Top Gun. You know, just all day, shirts off,
but
in
Adam,
the sand.
It gets old. It does.
Really?
I know that's like, it sounds weird to say it, but it gets old.
I've noticed that my kids, because they're essentially something, it's a combination between technology and daddy's money and mommy's pliability, that they just get whatever, whenever, whatever, all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Like, my daughter's 10, and she's like sitting around the other day, and she's like, hey, I could go for a Starbucks Lacchino, you know, with the Twizzler on it. And we're like, well, we're not going. And they're like, well, just use the app and have them bring it over. Like literally, like summoning a milkshake to her house. Like, could you imagine laying around that flop house in Louisiana? You call the home and be like, I command a milkshake be produced in front of me, you know? And
get a cow.
Yeah. Never thinks about the money or effort or anything. She's literally like, here, use the phone, go get the thing and have them bring it over. And we didn't, but we've done many versions of that. And I don't think big picture makes them happy. I think big picture, it starts to make them spin out a little bit. So I'm just going to translate that into cock.
Yeah.
Which is, Theo and I have to work so hard for our pussy.
But wait, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
You can order and get the milkshake, and you know it's going to be good every time because it's a milkshake. I could probably get cock at any time, but we're not talking high standard cock.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Local cock.
Any cock in a storm, you're going to get a lot of Armenian cock around here.
Nice.
That's true.
Cock's going to smell like axe. I'll pull up in a squatted BMW 3 Series with smoked windows.
Now I'm kind of
it's
in.
Gonna take me shopping.
Now you're in, huh? And at some point, I feel like it's so in vogue that if I don't at some point struggle with my sexuality, I'm going to be thrown out of Hollywood, right? Like, I'm barely looked at as an artist now because I like cars and pussy and shit. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true. You better get it together.
I better get it together and start struggling with my sexuality.
Would you go, do you feel like you would be like kind of like have an older man, or you feel like you would go for the younger kind of boy toy?
I would try to ease into what I think of more of like an older lesbian couple, which is the physical contact was at a minimum, but we were all about flipping houses.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we were totally into flipping houses. Like, we had those swatch piles everywhere.
Yeah.
Curtain swatches, tile swatches, laminate swatches. Like, just, we had a whole room just for swatches.
You've got your own U-Haul that you don't even rent. It just sits on the porch.
Just for swatches.
So it was very little sensuality and just a lot of just contracting work.
It was literally a nuts and bolts kind of relationship, you know? And a lot of talking, and one of us would be the good cop, and the other would be the bad cop when it came to dealing with the contractor.
Yeah.
You know?
That's naughty.
Yeah.
And that's where the arousal comes in there at the kind of like at the signings and stuff.
Yeah. And that's where I went the black guy.
Yeah.
Because I'd make up a kind of a tough name for him. Yeah. And I'd go like, listen, I'm cool. I understand delays. I understand it's time and material and things have overrun a little bit, but Brexit over here is pissed. Yeah. He's 41. Is his name Brexit? 41 years. Yeah, that's his name. Well, you want to go ask him if that's his real name? No, he's fucking seething, man. So we need to reel in the price. We need to get this done like yesterday.
Like
he
that,
is rip shit. Yeah.
Really? That's a great. That doesn't even seem homoerotic at all at the end, kind of.
No, it's just business.
It just seems casual, and let's open up another LLC and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, Adam, I want to ask. You said before that you're barely taken seriously as
I'm giving you guys both a point for going along with my gay premise.
I was actually intrigued by some of it. I took a few notes. Hey, bad boy.
Is that me?
I guess it is, man.
Grrr.
Yeah. You like to get sensual, Matt?
I've been known to from time to time.
I bet you have. Well, right now you can go to adamandeve.com. For a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item.
When we did our first Adam and Eve promo, I'll be honest, I bought something.
Wow. Do you want to tell us what it was?
I don't
want to hear what it was.
But part of what Adam and Eve is great about is like it kind of comes, it's kind of like you don't know what it is. Like in the mail, people don't know what it is, but I bought something.
So you bought a secret, huh?
I bought a secret.
A secret weapon?
That's being put to good use.
Oh! Look, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs.
Oh, I got them too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, did you watch any of them?
I don't have a DVD player.
Oh, thank God. Plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order.
So what do you have to do?
All you got to do is go to adamandeve.com and use code ATC at checkout. That's adamandeve.com and the code is ATC at checkout at adamandeve.com. No.
So you mentioned jokingly about being taken seriously as an artist, but I want to ask, when you do these documentaries like this, and is the next one No Safe Spaces, right?
The next one, well, hard to tell what order everything's going to be finished in, but I am going to do one with Dennis Prager, who's a sort of super Jewish conservative talk show host, who's also very open-minded guy, a very nice guy, very wise guy. There's that one. There's Willie T. Ribbs, first black driver at Indianapolis 500. He's kind of, it's the Jackie Robinson of automotive racing story, Willie T. The K-Rock documentary, and then Carol Shelby, who we already started shooting when we were working on the last doc. So that we really have 4 kind of up and running.
Do you find it that people do a double take or whatnot when they see your name behind it because they expect some comedy thing other than something? I mean, I watch this movie. It's serious. It's informative. It's not necessarily funny, you know? Do you get pressure to be funny or to be funnier or to put stuff like that?
No, I understand the not taken seriously part because I just that's just how our society works. You only have enough room for everyone to think of somebody a certain way, and you know, I don't help my cause probably by just going through life doing whatever I want, not like focusing on doing stand-up or doing something. It'd probably be a better, more fruitful life possibly. But no, I just go, here's the story we got to tell and let's tell it. And when we did, and I try not to involve my ego at all. I just try to look at it like I'm making a movie or more like I'm watching a movie. For me, I just set out to make the best documentary I can make. If there's comedy, that's fine. I feel no pressure in any real arena to be funny all the time. I just go, I just want to introduce thoughts and tell, have some ideas and tell some truths, and I'm sure there'll be some comedy floating around somewhere.
Yeah, because I expected you, like, I guess when I started watching you, I expected, like, oh, Adam's going to be in this, then it keeps going on, and I forgot about that, you know, and I just got engrossed, talking about the 24-hour war, I just got engrossed in the movie, you know, and I wanted us to beat Italy. Basically, for me, it became like a...
We beat patriotism Britain, thing?
A little bit like the Patriot. Like, you were like a little bit of like Mel Gibson, kind of, but
yeah.
But not, but on the outside, kind of just directing. It was fascinating to me. Did that come up where you were like, as the, like, did you want people to be like America, like versus, like, was it like a culture kind of thing? Because that's, it kind of feels like that a little bit.
Well, the story is the story, you know. It was funny. I was reading a documentary. I was reading a review. I don't know why I was getting kind of pissed off. It was actually a sort of a thumbs up, but it was still, it was one of these things where, like, out of 4 stars, it gave me 2.5. And I just thought, you can't give me 3. That's just 75%. I mean, it's barely a C+, you know, like, what's wrong with 75% on this documentary we killed ourselves on? And it's pretty good. And it's at 95% on Rotten Tomatoes with the fans, and everyone liked it. But anyway, it said, this Ford-centric, you know, Ford cheering, rah-rah, Ford, you know, and it's like, this is a documentary. I'm not telling you who my favorite car company is. I'm explaining to you that Ford, after being snubbed by Ferrari, came back and won 4 years or 3 years in a row. Yeah, it's a little bit of a love letter to Ford. I feel like Ferrari's pretty well represented in there, and you know, like, nobody feels bad for anyone. Oh, what do you got? Oh, I'm driving a Ferrari. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I got a Fiesta. Yeah. Ooh.
Personally, I'm not a car person, but what's works about this documentary is it's just a fascinating story, as well as visually, you have some really cool footage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do feel in a weird way, maybe you can go back to NYU and talk to your gay friends about this.
I wasn't out at NYU.
I
sure you weren't.
They all knew.
They all knew.
But here's the thing.
They all knew.
I, as a guy who just got done watching the Debbie Reynolds documentary, and
that,
you know,
one I
watched it. Of course you did. You had a whole party, didn't you? I watched that. It came on like HBO on like last Friday night, and I just watched it. You know, it's not, well, I love song and dance, and I love local theater and Broadway, and I love Debbie Reynolds, and I love Singing in the Rain. I don't know any of that stuff. And by the way, I don't like Star Wars. I'm one of the few people on the planet, pardon the pun, who doesn't like, I don't like Star Wars or Singing in the Rain per se. I just like good stories. So here's a couple of chicks sitting around who I have nothing in common with at all. My mom and I rarely talk. You guys are joined at the hip, and I'm enjoying it because it's a good documentary. Just like I enjoyed King of Kong, and I don't play video games. I don't like video games. That's the whole point of a documentary. So I want to say this should be a two-way street, which is you folks, you know what you're talking about.
You're kind, brother.
You're kind. You're not car guys. Or you don't know anything about Ian DeLamont. Well, that's what documentaries are for. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell me, go watch Debbie Reynolds and King of Kong, and then you're not going to watch my doc because you're not a car guy.
We're not pressuring you to watch King of Kong.
I felt a lot from the community to watch Debbie and King of Kong.
And okay. Billy Elliot.
Fair enough. Billy Elliot as well.
You got to watch Paris is Burning. That's a good one.
Yes. So
is that the one in New York City?
Yeah, that's
the guy's dancing?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Shock Full of Brothers. Have you seen this thing?
No.
Oh,
it's an old documentary about, like, kind of like the transvestite days before like RuPaul and all that sort of stuff.
It's like, I'm in, but my point is I'm not a black dick guy.
Yeah,
but I enjoy a good doc.
Yeah, but you don't mind working redoing some windows with Brexit, you know? Yeah.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to do it. I have a question. My first car was a Ford Escort with no passenger seat, actually.
Uh-huh.
So if you got in the front, you eventually got in the back, you know, if you got in the front passenger side. And I felt like in 24-Hour War, you could feel like the desire. Like, that's what I started to like. I was like, wow, these men are passionate about this, you know? And especially to, like, take on the Italians who feel like they have the market cornered on passion, you know, with always, like, having roses in their mouth and, like, with, like, that Amanda Knox story and all of that, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, do you feel like the desire to create the best car or the competition to create the best car these days with like businesses focused more like on margins, is there still that bravado out there with the companies? Do you feel that still?
Yeah, well, they all still have their, I mean, look, Ford is making a new Ford GT. The new Ford GT is coming out, I think, in a few months. They're gonna make a real small batch of them. They still have a desire to have their sort of marquee cars that are, you know, sort of like a city has a sports franchise or something that they can be proud of, even though if it doesn't necessarily represent the rest of the city.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, Cleveland wins, but I don't know if you'd want to move to Cleveland, but still, there's something that the folks can be proud of who aren't hanging out with LeBron.
Right.
So Ferrari has that, Ford has that. And yeah, there's still a lot of car makers out there that are going to strive to do the best they can do. It's actually kind of a golden era for that. Everybody, Jag and Aston Martin and everybody, and Audi, everyone is just stepping up and doing some sort of supercar. You know, even like Lexus has an LFA and stuff like that. They're all stepping up to do some version of some sort of bragging rights, something, and it's just upping everyone's game insanely. So, yes.
Do you think you could tell a lot about a person by the car they drive?
Yeah. I mean, well, it literally, and then sort of the model as well, and then sort of how they keep it. Like, you can kind of tell what someone's headspace is by, like, what's going on inside their car.
Yeah. Good point.
Like, you ever see that one where they got a bunch of throw pillows and newspapers and stuff in the back, and you're like, that person's insane.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Like,
I don't need to walk into their apartment to know that person's insane. They brought a little Hickory Farms summer sampler out to me.
Yeah,
so right, I get to know that person's insane. And then there's the other person with all the bumper stickers. And then there's the other person with the family. And it turns out they're all into wakeboarding. And we need to know super specific information that needs to be passed on to us. So, yeah. Now,
could you look at me and guess what car I drive?
Let's see. Now, first off, I want to make sure I didn't see it walking in here or take notice of it.
I can tell you what my car is, so you know that it's not mine.
Oh, okay.
Well, just to narrow it down by one.
I have a black BMW outside, so that was my car.
Mm-hmm. I will say there's two... All right, let me say this. Comedians are fairly notorious for not caring.
Right.
What they drive. It's very rare that you find a comedian who's a real gearhead kind of guy. There's a handful of your Lenos and Tituses of the world, but then everybody else is just don't care. It's like a different brain. It's like the creative mind looks at the cars as sort of a nuisance, and it's a way to get from point A to point B. I wish I lived in New York and I could walk or take the subway. Now, let's see, Matt. Let's try to figure this one out. There's two angles, then, with the gay fellas. Yeah. One is I don't care about cars at all, so who cares? And then the other one is, you need to know I'm gay from outer space by what I drive. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I pulled up behind a guy. He was driving a peach. A like metallic peach.
I thought you meant an actual peach.
No. he was a dandy driving a peach of a car. He's driving a like metallic peach Mini Cooper, not the S, not the blown one, pardon the pun, or the turbocharged, just a naturally aspirated, as we call it. It was a convertible,
ooh,
peach colored Mini Cooper, and he had the gay license plate frame. But I thought, why are you bothering with this license plate frame? We can see from dirigibles that you're gay. We don't need to pull up behind you. So I'm going to say...
I'll tell you, one of your assessments is correct.
I think that Matt is one of the gay folk who doesn't care about what he drives. He's not interested in the statement.
Correct.
Car.
You are correct, sir.
And by the way, there's a statement, you know, there's a Corvette or Viper. There's a, hey, I'm super straight guy.
Right.
Right.
Car, too. Yeah. Ford Raptor pickup truck. There's like, there's some. So because of that, now we're down to practicality. Mm-hmm. Now we're down to, I got to get from point A to point B. I got to do it practically. So now we're into Prius territory.
This is good.
It's like an Agatha Christie novel, but by Adam Carolla. This is like your version of Agatha Christie novel.
It's like a fortune teller here.
This is like Clue, the board game, but your version.
Let's see. I'm not sure. I mean, I know you're not making anything off a podcast. I'm trying to think what the bracket is here. Now we go into Prius, Honda, Honda Civic. Mm. Toyota Camry is a little family-oriented oriented for the young gay man on the move.
Yeah, that is not... That's Midwestern gay first car used.
Yeah, so...
This is like a David Blaine magic trick where you're psychologically getting it down.
I keep watching you.
You know what? You're correct in one of your assessments there, too.
I'm going to get... I'm just going to go to Honda Civic.
Oh, no.
Prius?
No, a Honda Insight.
Wow. But either way, it's I don't care.
Yeah, it's totally I don't care.
I rode in it. I have no idea what the hell it is. I've been in it like 9 times, dude. And he tried to walk me to my door one time.
No, stop it.
Which is crazy.
That was pretty amazing that you can do that. But you can see a lot. You can tell a lot about a person by their car.
I can tell when they... I have like the number one car... God, I think... the number one car I've always said for the people who just don't care is the Honda CR-V. That is just like, that's my stepmom wishes she didn't have to have a car, so she just gets the cheapest, easiest, whateverest, simplest beige interior,
reliable.
Like just reliable.
Yeah.
Just get a Honda CR-V, like the Honda. Honda, when you don't care. I mean, that's
pretty much.
I had a shitty car growing up, Adam. Mm. My first three cars were from 1984.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell people who have shitty cars, as young guys out there or even adults have shitty cars? How do you stay feeling confident? And when you're, because it's tough driving a shitty car, you know. Mm. Is there a way to manage that?
Mm, the confidence. Now, you didn't have a passenger seat.
I didn't have a passenger seat in the Escort.
For what reason?
They didn't have it. I mean, they had it, but I didn't get it.
It came in parts?
When you bought it, it was missing.
Somebody else had it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was never, you never inquired as to where it might be?
No.
I had my first pickup truck, which was a 79 Mazda mini pickup truck with a long bed, had somebody replace the bench seat, because there used to be bench seats in cars.
Yeah, sexy.
The trucks all had these bench seats all connected. They took the bench seat and they replaced it with dinette bucket seats. But they're from
beautiful.
A dinette set. So that was pretty hot.
Definitely.
So I had way more than two seats.
Did you feel unconfident in that truck?
I gotta tell you that dating in the mini pickup truck was a bummer. Like, it was also back when status and socioeconomic status actually like meant something, counted for more. Like, I'll give you an example. Nowadays, like back in the day, you'd go, that guy's successful, pulls up in a shiny Mercedes Benz. You know, like if somebody drove a Mercedes Benz like back in the day, that guy was a heavy hitter. He was a captain of industry. Now you can get a baby Mercedes Benz, or you get a used one, or you can get a whatever. Like, the notion of driving a Mercedes Benz or BMW or something like that now doesn't mean nearly what it meant in the 80s.
True.
Like, if you drove a BMW in the 80s, he was a Wall Street guy.
Somebody.
Mr. Prep from
New York.
Yeah, New York City, perhaps.
Yeah.
So there is nowhere near the stigma that there was back in the day. And pulling up, I had a pickup truck that had a lumber rack on it, which was not helping my cause at all. That lumber rack and the 5-speed and the bed box and a box on it for my tools. And that's the only vehicle I had. And it was just not good for the date nights.
Yeah.
You know?
And how would you combat that?
I would have liked it.
Would you put extra speakers in? Like, I put a sticker on my car. Like, like I had this big sticker on the back that said, don't be a pussy on it, right?
Oh.
Which was fucking, it just some reason made me feel like rogue or something, you know?
I didn't do anything. I think I probably compensated with comedy and you know, plans on getting out of this pickup truck one of these days.
I'm going to ask a question, switching topics a little bit, mm-hmm. and that is, are you watching this, as someone who was on The Celebrity Apprentice,
mm-hmm.
are you watching it, and what do you think of Donald and Arnold and their little kind of feud and having Arnold as the boss?
Topical and timely question. I'm going to give you a point for that, man. I haven't been watching it. I have no idea what's going on. I heard there was some sort of Twitter feud. I don't know if he is just the original Kardashian and just wanting to get ratings for everything all the time. Like, I think everything is just turning into pro wrestling. Is it all just one big fight that's being promoted and it's really super easy, which is, if you're promoting a fight and everyone has great respect for their opponent, you get so many pay-per-views. But if there's footage of you guys going at it during the weigh-in and you throwing water bottles at Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz or whatever, doesn't that get us all? I mean, isn't that sort of P.T. Barnuming us all into wanting to get the pay-per-view?
Yes.
And now that the Kardashians have sort of figured this out, like, I used to be on the sidelines with my arms folded, like, those gals would never want a bootleg tape of them fornicating with a black man put out on the internet, plain and simple. Use your brains, people.
Yeah.
What smart person would want that? It's humiliating. These people are going to have kids one day. Yeah. They're going to be grandparents one day. They don't want a bunch of stuff of them taking it from behind from Ray J. Of course they don't want that. And, like, people kept saying to me, like, what are you being so naive for? That's turned into billions of dollars. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's embarrassing. No one would want footage of them doing that. And now I've turned the corner. Like, I'm like,
You're talking about Brexit. I mean, here we are. That's a perfect example. Here we are considering.
Yeah, I'm considering I'm filming me and Brexit and putting it up. Yeah.
When you were working with him, so to speak, could you ever have imagined that he would become president?
That's a good question.
No, I could not, but somebody played me a tape from my 2008 morning show that said Donald Trump will be president in 2016. Like, I gave the date, and I don't even know, like, presidential campaigns or Olympics. Like, I'm not, I screw this up. I get odd numbers. I could have said 13 or 17 or 19 or something. Like, I don't know the I'm not good enough to figure out the pattern, but I just said 2016, he's president.
Yeah, you did. I heard that.
It was a weird moment. You know, it's weird for me because I never used Donald Trump as an example, but anyone who would always ask me, I'd always say, I just want some guys running a business, like when I would say, like, Elon Musk or something. I just want some smart guys running a business. It's to come on in, start looking at everything like he's running a business and it's a problem, you know? And even emotional, or not emotional, but it's like everyone goes, well, some things aren't all problems. But I mean, some things aren't financial, you know, they're social or whatever. But I'm like, look, take a look at inner city violence in Chicago. Treat it like a business is trying to fix a problem. Problem and fix it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that means, approach everything from that standpoint. Right. Not like, hey, we're all stronger together, and look across the aisle and realize that that's your brother. Like, the stuff that doesn't, it's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, be careful what you ask for, because, like, I'm just going, just got to find some business guy who come in here and just do everything like a business. And I guess we'll see.
Well, so who do you predict next? I got to ask.
Oh.
Because you're one for one right now.
Let's
That's a great
see.
Question.
Ooh, you know what would be awesome? Meryl Streep. Can you imagine the Twitter war that would go down if Meryl Streep ran against Trump?
That's fantastic.
That would be so awesome. Well, I mean, look, she's a woman. She's got a lot more gravitas than Hillary did. I think Hillary was a little tinny and a little plastic. Mm-hmm. And even the people...
She's an actress. She can do it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, that'd be the role of a lifetime, but I feel she could pull that one off.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like one of the knocks on Hillary is that she didn't have that authenticity and that je ne sais quoi, that you sort of that human thing that Meryl brings to every one of her roles.
Yeah.
Well, Meryl can do anything.
Burgess Madison County was so good.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm not gay.
That was a wild sound you made. I think some orcas perked up in the distance.
What I'm saying is if Meryl ran against Donald, that would be awesome.
All right.
So
you 2020?
I don't know what they're doing. They're doing it every four now? Black guy just did eight. Yeah.
Jesse Owens.
Oh, he broke those into twos.
Didn't Jesse Owens just win one recently?
Yeah.
I have one last question. So I know that you work with Dr. Drew, you know, and we know this guy, and what is he, man? Is he like a madman? Is he a scientist?
Drew?
What is he? Yeah.
He's a human being who's very into the human existence. Like he really wants to know he really wants to know what makes how everything works, what motivates. He's really into the human experience. He's very empathic. You can call him like just any time and just talk to him about almost anything. He's very wildly sensitive, and he's really wired like a chick with seasonal allergies. Like he's super soft in his wiring. Like every time we would travel, I'd go, all right, I'll see you down, you know, in the lobby at 7 a.m. And he goes, yeah, but that's like 4 a.m., you know, for us. And I'd go, it's just 7 a.m. in the lobby. Yeah, but well, I'm on West Coast. So if that's like 4, and I go, look, we've been in New York for 4 days. It's 7 a.m. That's the time it is. I know, but my clock, like, you know, the people that talk, actually, the two biggest markers for pussies are the clock and altitude. Like, you know, they go to the Aspen Comedy Festival, they're like, oh man, I can't have one light beer, otherwise I may yak all over the place. Like, just have a couple beers, relax, you're fine. Oh no, at the altitude, like, I can't even tell and don't care, and I'm tired of everyone going what their inner clock is saying or what their inner barometer is saying. Oh. Wherever you're at, you're just there. So he is a super sensitive dude. Like he is soft.
He's like a nightingale kind of.
He's a nightingale. He and I remember one time when I really learned just what a world class puss he was. He said he and I had to have the same procedure that he had. He had a hernia and I had a hernia. And I was going in on Friday afternoon to get this procedure done. And I said, and we work Sunday through Thursday. And I said, I'll see you Sunday night. And he said, no, you will not. And I said, why not? And he said, because you're going under the knife kind of late on Friday, like 6 p.m. on Friday. And there's no way you're getting out of bed for maybe 2 weeks, because I had this procedure and I could not get out of bed for 2 weeks. I was in such excruciating pain, I couldn't move. And I said, I think I'll be fine. And also, I used to work. I used to, you know, I used to really work. Right. Sit and talk into a microphone, you know, drive an automatic car to Culver City, get out and talk to a microphone. Really count that as physical labor. Like, and then I went in and I got the procedure, and then I had these big glass closet mirror doors that I'd ordered special to swing in a closet instead of stupid aluminum sliding mirror doors or bifolding crappy louver doors. I ordered two custom mirrors. I was going to put hinges on them, and it was like 2 months and they finally came in. I got home on Friday night, woke up at like 6 a.m., it's just wide awake at 6 a.m. I didn't ever get up that early either, but I was like, I went to bed at 9 p.m. So I got up at like 6 a.m. and I just popped up and I just said, I'm going to hang those doors.
Ah.
And I went over and I hung both mirrors. And I just showed up work Sunday night like nothing.
Yeah.
Zero. Wow. We both had the exact same thing. It's not that I'm special.
He's
wired like a puss.
He's wired like a puss.
He's got ovaries, I bet.
Yeah, something. Yeah, maybe he had a hysterectomy.
Yeah,
he had a hysterectomy.
I've got one final question before we wrap it
up.
And this is about another pal of yours, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't seem to me like someone who needs to hang out with famous people.
Uh-huh.
I know that Jimmy's friends
streak
with...
Streak alive today, people. Streak's intact.
I know that Jimmy hangs out with lots of like famous people, you know, like Aniston and Howard Stern and people like that.
Yes.
What? How do you feel about that? Do you feel like...
I honestly think... Well, first off, you know, rich people, celebrities, whoever, they're slightly more interesting than us. Like,
true.
For the most part, there's a reason why we listen to Howard Stern and he doesn't listen to us. There's a reason why I love watching those Aveeno ads with Jennifer Aniston. It doesn't all have to be, you know, getting back to brown nosing, like star kissing ass or whatever. Alec Baldwin's a super interesting dude, you know, and he's still Alec Baldwin, but he's also a crazy, fascinating guy. Joel McHale's a really fun, interesting dude. Jimmy's a really, let's just take Jimmy, who didn't used to be a star. He's a super magnanimous, outgoing, interested, funny, you know, like you'd want to hang out with Jimmy, whether the guy was hosting the Oscars or not. But, so I think, A, it's fun. Like, I think Howard gets a kick out of Jimmy. I think Jimmy gets a kick out of Howard. But also there's a political side of it. Like these people are coming on your show. Like there has to be an element in this town where you have to have relationships with these people. You want Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Jennifer Aniston. You want these Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, whoever it is, you want these people on your show. But also, I was on Jimmy's show working with Jimmy in the first 3 or 4 and 5 years, and it was tough to book celebrities on that show. I mean, it's tough. Angeline's coming back for the third time this week. It's awesome. Angeline, driving a pink Corvette. That must draw a lot of attention. Tell us about that. And then the other part is wouldn't you, if you grew up loving Howard Stern and Huey Lewis, like Jimmy did, wouldn't you want to go fly fishing with Huey Lewis and vacationing with Howard Stern?
Hell yeah. I don't knock it at all. I think and plus, when you have the access, of course I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You seem to me the type that would actually shy away from that.
I don't have a preference one way or the other. They're like people that are pretty genuine that I like. I just got an email from Jimmy yesterday that said, was just talking to Kevin Costner. He loves you. He wants us to all go out to dinner. And I love Kevin Costner, and I love that he loves me. And that's a separate story. But he's a regular dude, and he's also Kevin Costner. So I'm more than happy to go out to dinner with Jimmy and Kevin Costner. But on the other hand, I think my wiring is a little bit of, I feel like it's a certain amount of pressure. Like, when you're hanging around with somebody who everyone knows, there's a weird, like, I went to Kevin Costner's ranch in Santa Barbara, Ventura, and at a certain point, we just went to a supermarket. We're like standing in the parking lot of this little supermarket, and somebody was like pitching him a movie idea, about a real story about a dam breaking in, you know, 1921. He's just getting pitched movie ideas in a parking lot of a little market in Ventura County. Wow. And I just thought, this is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's like time, you just on a Saturday, you just want to go get a six pack and go home.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you in between jobs and looking to earn some extra money, Matt?
Always.
Oh, wow. Are you looking to put away more money into your kid's college fund?
Oh, I'm going to have a kid.
Oh, gosh. Are you going back to school yourself to get another degree?
No.
Okay. But look, if you are planning on doing any of those things, which it sounds like you are, I got a way you can make some extra loot.
How?
Drive for Lyft, bro. It's the ride-sharing app that lets you be your own boss, you know? Because you don't like taking orders from anybody, do you?
Depends on the situation.
You do not. You can pick your own hours. You can earn up to $1,500 a week. You like money?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And you can earn it driving your car, man. That's it. It's a smart way to earn extra money. And because you're a listener of Allegedly, you can get a $500 bonus.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And there are other ride-sharing apps out there, but everyone likes driving for Lyft best because they treat their drivers right. Don't you like being treated well?
Again, depends on the situation.
Oh, gosh, dude. No, the answer is yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, lots of people started off as customers, and now they drive for Lyft. It's a flexible way to make extra money anytime from anywhere. All you need is guess what?
A car?
Yep.
Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Driving for Lyft pays up to $35 an hour, and getting started is fast and easy. You can drive mornings, nights, or weekends. Just flip into driver mode, start making money. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and those add up
to money.
Money!
Yay!
And they add up fast.
So what do we have to do if we want to
All you have to do is sign up today at lyft.com/Theo, T-H-E-O. And right now, Lyft has a special offer. That's right.
Limited time offer.
Limited time offer. It's that $500 new driver bonus when you sign up using our show. Just go to lyft.com/Theo. Go there today so you can start making some extra money. Get your $500 new driver bonus. That's lyft.com/Theo. And now, back to the show.
So everybody, check out the 24-hour war.
Yeah.
And Mr. Corolla, you have to pick a winner of the podcast based on the points you awarded or whatever is going on in your head right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Theo has 3 points.
This is a low scoring game.
Matt, I'm just going to give his T cell count. Okay. I didn't know that going in, but Dr. Drew actually just texted me some information. Perhaps we should share it off the air. It's not probably something you'd like to be able to talk to your family, I think, probably before they hear it here first.
Okay, perfect.
Matt gets 6.
Yes! Because of his
poignant questions. That's mixed fair. With this. Again, the T-cell count is limited time here.
Well, we want him to win.
At least I win
goes.
Somehow.
Yes. Yeah.
I want you to win on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
So, 24-hour war. I genuinely enjoyed it.
Thank
it's a
you.
Fascinating story about Ferrari and Ford. And I look forward to all the upcoming documentaries that you have, man. You're very interesting.
It's prolific, man. It's a prolific man right here.
You can go to Chassis, by the way, chassy.com, and all our stuff will be there, our car stuff.
Okay.
Also, other movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you can listen to them every day on the Adam and Dr. Drew show and the Adam Carolla show.
That is true.
Thank you so much, Adam, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mahalo.